You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning, and welcome to Focus on the Liturgy here on Relevant Radio, 950 AM. I'm Todd Williamson from the Office for Divine Worship with the Archdiocese of Chicago.
And I'm Danielle Knott from Liturgy Training Publications, also of the Archdiocese. Good morning.
We are here every fourth Wednesday of the month, and our show always takes some aspect of our Catholic communal corporate liturgical life and spend time discussing it, exploring it, and breaking it open. Mm-hmm. We talk about the rites in addition to what most people are familiar with as the liturgy of the church, that is Mass. Mm-hmm. But in addition, we break open other rites.
All the sacraments, the liturgy of the hours, the devotions,
the liturgical seasons, mm-hmm. and the liturgical year. So, and for anybody who is a regular listener, you know that since January of this year, Danielle and I have spent some portion of every show looking at some aspect of the coming English translation of the third edition of the Roman Missal.
We have broken apart the order of Mass, and each month we have taken one of the four parts. So we've explored the introductory rites, the liturgy of the word, the liturgy of the Eucharist, and the concluding rites, and talked about the new texts, highlighting particular aspects of the translation, and explaining, you know, the reason for this, why it's coming. And it will be implemented fully for liturgical use on the first Sunday of Advent at the end of this year, so November 27th, or technically, which is November 26th,
right,
which is the Mass for Anticipation on that Saturday. And I was thinking about that this morning, Todd, as I was driving in. It's going to be a very interesting day because that morning Mass, the Saturday
that's right,
of the last week or 34th week of Ordinary Time, priests will be using the current edition of the Sacramentary,
right,
and then shifting that evening to the new Roman Missal.
To the new translation. Uh-huh. Yeah, which will be, I mean, if you think about it, that whole weekend is a lot going on. In addition to the Roman Missal,
mm-hmm.
it's Thanksgiving weekend.
Yeah, I believe so. Mm-hmm.
And so the chances are that many communities could have visitors.
Visitors, that's true.
You know, chances are that many communities would be then a bit larger than, mm-hmm. maybe normal, or at least have that presence of guests. So, yeah, it does. It presents,
right,
I think, a in very interesting dynamic in a number of ways.
Well, we have interesting news to report about the status of the implementation. We've been talking for several months that, you know, you can't use the text liturgically until the first Sunday of Advent.
We have been so beaten.
We have a little revision in that,
right,
announcement. So recently the USCCB announced that this coming September, parishes, depending on the permission of their local bishop, can implement the assembly responses early, providing that they are sung.
Three in particular: the Gloria, the Sanctus, and the Memorial Acclamation.
Mm-hmm. There's been a lot of concern, especially about the Gloria, because obviously when the first Sunday of Advent happens, the Holy Holy is going to be done. Those Memorial Acclamations, you will pick one of the three for,
right,
the Sunday Mass. People will be learning them from week to week. The Gloria is not done during Advent. The only days that would occur would be Immaculate Conception and Guadalupe, and then Christmas will occur. There's going to be a lot of visitors in the parishes, a lot of people attending, and all of a sudden we have this new text, new musical settings of the Gloria. So implementing those sung musical settings early is going to give parishes more of an opportunity to learn the text and the new musical settings.
Yeah, what's been really interesting, Danielle, and Annabelle O'Shea and I, Annabelle's from our office, we talked about this at last month's show. We remember the focus of that show was music for the new English translation. And we did mention this, but what's been interesting from our perspective is the response of many of the parishes, at least in the Archdiocese of Chicago. As you might expect, the gamut. Everything from one extreme to the other. And just to follow up on some things that you made note of, I agree with you, Danielle. The bishops, this was motivated out of a very pastoral concern.
Yes, it was.
They want the Catholics in this country to be able to worship fully, you know, actively, consciously.
Exactly.
On Christmas Eve, the very first time that they will hear, other than the Immaculate Conception, but most people, most Catholics, will hear it for the first time at Christmas. Mm-hmm. And their pastoral concern is they want the people to be able to sing this great hymn of praise. And you and I have broken open the text of the Gloria.
Right.
You know, rooting it in the infancy narrative, you know, and suddenly a host of angels appeared singing the glory of God there at the Incarnation. And so the bishops want the people to be able to enter into that.
And there's an entirely new phrase that's been translated that wasn't in the current translation.
In that whole first part, we praise you, we bless you,
we glorify you. You know, I'm getting really confused at Mass right
now. I am too. We did the
Confiteor. I don't know what to say.
We did the Confiteor at Mass a little while ago, and I'm entering into it, and I confess to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have greatly said, oops.
The preface dialogue, I keep wanting to say it is right and
I
just.
Know. I did. They sang that. The priest sang the preface dialogue this last Sunday, and I seriously had to slow myself down and listen to those around me, because Danielle and I are talking about the fact that we've been working with these texts so much.
We've been working with them for a long time.
That we're slipping into the new text. But back to the bishop's decision. So yeah, at their meeting in Seattle, they decided that every bishop could make a decision in his diocese as to whether or not to make the early allow the early implementation of these three sung pieces. And there is a couple of things that's worth emphasizing in what you said. It's just those three pieces. Those are the only pieces of the English translation of the third edition of the Roman Missal that can be used come September.
And remember, the Amen is obviously not going to change. The Lamb of God is not going to change.
Right. The Form C of the Penitential Act. Lord Jesus, you came to call sinners. Lord, have mercy. You plead for us at the right hand of the Father. Christ, have mercy. That's not changing. And so if that's sung, that's not an issue.
Right.
It's only the new Gloria, the new Sanctus, and the new Memorial Acclamations.
Right. Exactly.
And only if they're sung. So, you know, that raises some questions, Danielle. What happens, for example, during weekday Mass, when there may be a feast that calls for the Gloria, and although it's not ideal, there should, you know, singing songs should be a part of every Mass. Incidentally, somebody asked me most recently, an anonymous caller asked, is a Mass valid if there's no music? Yes, the Mass is valid if there's no music, but the ideal is that it should be sung. There should be singing. There should be music. It's integral to. So on those weekday Masses, if it's not sung, if there a music minister can't be there, what translation is used?
It's the current translation.
Now, that can pose some confusion, but here's my thought before we need to go to a break on that. Most daily Mass communities are intentional communities, right?
It's a small crowd.
They're smaller crowds. They know one another because it's part of their daily prayer life.
There's an informality about it.
Right, they're such that, you know, for the presider to be able to say, remember, although on Sunday we may have sung the new Gloria, we're going to recite the current one.
You know, Father Rick Hilgartner raised an interesting point on an email forum. It's liturgically based. Many questions were being raised about this. And he said, you know, for many years, composers have varied the text. So we're used to a variation, even though that variation should not have occurred.
That's true.
So even though we're doing two different translations, either reciting or singing it, there is, you know, that precedence.
Right. There is an experience of being able to switch from setting to setting.
Right.
I agree with you. And so I think for those kinds of reasons, I don't think it's going to be terribly upsetting or confusing to people. But again, it's only those three pieces and only if they're sung. Right. And it's out of that pastoral concern. And the Archdiocese of Chicago, Cardinal George, has given permission for parishes, if they wish, to make use of those three musical settings mm-hmm. come September, September 3rd, the first Sunday of September. And that's only if the parishes want to. And that whole idea of when you asked the reaction and I said running the gamut uh-huh. from one extreme to the other, uh-huh. it's around that, you know, that caveat of it being optional for mm-hmm. parishes. And maybe that's where we'll pick up when we come back from a break. So stay with us here on Focus on the Liturgy. We'll be right back after these messages.
Each night, thousands of families face homelessness in Chicago. Those families aren't just statistics. They're your neighbors, your friends. They could even be part of your own family.
I had lost my job, so I wasn't working, and I had run out of all my savings, so I ended up losing my apartment. And I went to stay with my sister, but she's got this small little itty-bitty condo, so we were all sleeping on the floor. So I started calling around for the housings and everything, and they told me to call Catholic Charities, and it just happened when I got through, Joanne answered the phone, and she goes, "You know, you got me just at the right time. We're actually doing interviews right now. You want to come in?" And gave me the whole rundown of everything and how the program works and everything. She goes, "Is this something you can do?" And I looked at her and said, "You're offering me a roof over my head, something more than I've got right now. And I'm willing to do anything to keep that roof over my head."
Catholic Charities of Chicago is there to provide a helping hand to the homeless. Find out how to help us help the most needy. Visit CatholicCharities.net.
Most interment arrangements at the 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries are made through a pre-need plan. Your thoughtful planning today is economically prudent and contributes to peace of mind for you and your loved ones. Catholic Cemeteries counselors are available at your convenience. For more information, call 708-449-6100. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
Welcome back to Focus on the Liturgy here on Relevant Radio, 950 AM. I'm Todd Williamson.
And I'm Danielle Knott.
We are actually talking about the English translation of the third edition of the Roman Missal in this first half of our show. And in particular, we're talking about the early implementation of the three sung parts of the Mass, the Gloria, the Sanctus, and the Memorial Acclamation mm-hmm. That the bishops of the United States have allowed for early implementation before the implementation date of
November 27th, the first Sunday of Advent.
And that the Archbishop of Chicago, Cardinal George, has allowed parishes to use them come September 3rd. And Danielle, in that first segment, you know, we were talking about my experience just in the Office of Worship with some of the responses from the parishes. Mm-hmm. And you asked what it was, and I said, well, they run the gamut. Mm-hmm. And part of that is this. You even referenced it at the start of the show. We've, for the longest time, throughout, you know, this whole year, in our assisting the parishes to receive and implement the English translation, we've been emphasizing you can't use these until November 26th.
Exactly.
And their
exactly.
concern has been, understandably, well, how can we help our people learn these new texts?
Right.
So we've spent time giving some suggestions, methodologies and strategies on how parishes, with an implementation date mm-hmm. of November 26th mm-hmm. and 27th, how can they begin preparing their people to learn these new, how they can help their people now begin learning mm-hmm. these new settings to the Gloria, to the Sanctus, to the Memorial Acclamation. And parishes have taken that advice and have developed this very, many parishes have developed a very solid, detailed mm-hmm. plan mm-hmm. for how they would implement. And their reaction to the early implementation has been, oh my, and now this throws a wrench in the works.
Right.
Well, the nice thing about Cardinal George, and I think most of the bishops in the United States, about their allowing use, early use, is that they've stressed this is an option.
Exactly.
If it will help your community.
Exactly.
If you don't have a detailed plan already laid out, then you can begin using them in September mm-hmm. to help your people mm-hmm. learn. And in those cases, those parishes that have developed a plan and have raised a concern, when they hear our response that, well, no, it's optional. You don't have to begin using them. Their response has been, oh, okay, well, we're going to go with our original plan.
And this just emphasizes how this was a pastoral decision on the part of the USCCB and local
right.
bishops. And, you know, it's all an attempt to help people learn this. And as you said before the first break, you know, one of the primary focuses or concerns about liturgical preparation is that the full conscious active participation be realized.
That we're not just reading words off of a
exactly.
off of a worship
exactly.
aid or a pew card, but that we're actually
internalizing
praying.
The
we're
text, praying
them,
the
not
text.
Just reading them.
Mm-hmm.
You know exactly. So that whole response has been from the parishes has been interesting. And anybody, any of our listeners, you can go to our website mm-hmm. odw.org. And we have some resources about this early implementation, some questions mm-hmm, answers mm-hmm, in terms mm-hmm. of, you know, what might help a parish determine whether or not early implementation would be best for them. And what are some of the nuances around this allowance that we've been talking about?
And if parishes decide, yes, we do want to do the early implementation in September, and you're concerned about what musical settings to do, you know, I would recommend doing those that you had originally thought of doing in Advent and keeping those settings the same, just to help people learn the musical settings and the new text, because obviously as we know, music helps you learn text. So
right.
I would keep it the same. But know that OCP or Oregon Catholic Press, GIA Publications, World Library Publications have all of the settings available on their website to listen online, so you can determine what setting is going to work best in your parish if you want to do a revised setting of those that you have been doing that have been revised musically to fit the new text, or a completely new musical setting. So there are resources available for you now.
And even, again, mentioning just some of the things that our office has created as resources, odw.org. One of the things that we have been doing in the workshops, Danielle, around the Archdiocese on this mm-hmm. issue, particularly in the workshops with music directors and musical music ministers, is some of those, you know, elaborating on some of those strategies or some of those mm-hmm. methods for mm-hmm. helping the people learn the new settings, mm-hmm. even if they don't begin using them
right.
at Mass.
Right.
In September, and there are things that are fairly easy for any parish. For example, you might decide not to use the Gloria as the Gloria in Mass, but that doesn't mean that the choir or the cantor and the accompanist couldn't sing the Gloria as a prelude
right.
to Mass.
Right, that's an excellent point.
You know, so mm-hmm. So that people begin mm-hmm. hearing the new melodies and hearing the new texts, and then do it again as a postlude.
I heard a very interesting idea of integrating the new memorial acclamations in Mass by using the acclamation and adding a Gilino psalm tone to it. So I thought that was kind of interesting to do that now, so that the text and the melodies are in people's minds.
We've also suggested that parishes could use these settings and in use these sung pieces in other settings, mm-hmm. like at, you know, as part of the prayer, perhaps part of the opening for a night of reflection.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, certainly in schools. Mm-hmm. Or even in religious ed, not just Catholic schools, you know, music directors and school music directors can begin teaching these in classes
right.
and in the gatherings, that
and
kind of thing.
Any of the formation sessions that you have scheduled about the new text, integrate the music.
Right. You know, with samples mm-hmm. and in many cases we actually spent time singing through these, and that's the kind of setting that a parish could use other than worship
right.
to help the people begin hearing and learning these texts. To then, you know, maybe if the choir or the cantor sang the Gloria as the postlude, maybe the preacher, the deacon or the priest, preaches on the new texts of the Gloria, and maybe breaks them open.
LTP has numerous resources available on our Revised Roman Missal website, as well as a CD with various homilies that break open the new text. And also there are bulletin inserts on every part of the Mass that is changing and not changing, so that you get a theological overview and also an explanation on the various parts of the text.
And anybody can go to the website and get those, right?
It's free. You just have to register for an account, which means you need a valid email address, and sign up for a screen name and a password, and you can access all of those materials for free. It's www.revisedromanmissal.org, and our radio show is actually podcasted on that website as well, so you can hear the past shows about the Missal if you're interested.
Excellent. We will be right back here on Focus on the Liturgy after these messages, so stay tuned.
The Catholic New World has been your faith resource for well over a century. Archbishop Patrick Feehan recognized the need for a strong Catholic voice in 1892 and launched Chicago's first Catholic newspaper. Bishop Feehan named our Catholic newspaper using a theme from the Columbian Exposition, the New World that gave people hope for a brighter future. Today, the Catholic New World is better than ever. It's a rich and diverse resource for Chicagoland Catholics with stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Cardinal Francis George and our team of columnists offer compelling insights on spirituality, catechesis, and evangelization. Visit our website at catholicnewworld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and while you're there, subscribe to the Catholic New World or call 312-534-7777. Our look has changed, but we are still your faith resource. Subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
Blessed Pope John Paul II's Theology of the Body is changing lives around the world. It brings clarity to many of the tough questions regarding our sexuality and God's plan for love and life. Please join the Respect Life Office and the Office for Catholic Schools for the Theology of the Body for Teens curriculum training. This two-day training is perfect for teachers, youth ministers, catechists, and anyone who wants to bring Theology of the Body to teenagers. The Theology of the Body for Teens High School Edition training will take place on Friday evening, August 12th. The training for the new middle school edition will take place Saturday, August 13th, and will include lunch and materials. Both trainings will take place at Queen of the Rosary Parish in Elk Grove Village. For more information or to register, please contact the Respect Life Office at 312-534-5355 or check out their website at respectlifechicago.org.
Welcome back to Focus on the Liturgy here on Relevant Radio, 950 AM. I'm Todd Williamson from the Office for Worship.
And I'm Danielle Nutt from LTP.
As we have been doing every show this calendar year, this first half of our show, we're talking about the coming English translation of the third edition of the Roman Missal. Spent some good amount of time this morning talking about the allowance for early implementation that the bishops of the United States have given for a bishop to make that decision in his own diocese. And but there's also, with the Roman Missal, I mean, work continues for you and all the folks at LTP.
Yeah, we just finished a very exciting time for the last 2 months. We finally got the final files from the Bishops' Conference, and we were using their design files, which is what we were waiting for. And so we spent the last 2 months proofreading and designing and laying out the text, and we just went to the printer. So it's very exciting.
That's excellent.
Yeah. So the
I can well imagine.
Well, the ship date for the Missal is October 1st. So
right.
Parishes can order them now, but we can't ship them by mandate of the USCCB until October 1st. However, I just wanted to give you a few things about our Missal.
The one that LTP is publishing.
Yeah, that LTP is publishing. We have a ritual edition and a chapel edition. So the chapel
difference
is a smaller size. All it is size.
Yeah.
The pagination is exactly the same. The only difference is the font size has been reduced to fit the 7x10 trim size. The Missal itself is 1,520 pages. So it's a little more than 300 pages larger than
what
the current sacramentary. Mm-hmm. It's not as heavy as I thought. So I think that's a good thing. I think it's probably about 9 pounds, but it's still heavy, but,
okay,
but
so
not as heavy.
All these fears of having to have workout sessions for altar servers can be dismissed.
I think the concern can be eased a little bit. There have been numerous questions about the functionality of the book. There are 5 ribbons, each of a different color, and we have 41 tabs in this missal. So the Order of Mass, the very beginning of the Order of Mass is marked with a tab. The very beginning of the prefaces are marked with a tab.
As they are now in the sacramentary.
Exactly. Every page of Eucharistic prayers 1 through 4, Eucharistic prayers 1 and 2 for reconciliation, and then the 4 Eucharistic prayers for use in masses for various needs and occasions. Each page of those Eucharistic prayers have a tab. Each page of the communion rite has a tab, and the beginning of the solemn blessings is marked with a tab. So it makes the missal much easier to use.
To navigate.
They're durable, and each tab is marked, so you know exactly where to go. The pages themselves, it's a cream off-white color.
Oh, nice.
Which reduces the glare, and the font size is about 14 point, and we're using the semi-bold type to make it easier to read. There's been a lot of concerns about that, but I have to take a moment and praise our designer, Anna, who's just done a fabulous job on the cover. I'm just very, very proud.
I think it's a beautiful cover.
She just did a wonderful job, and I'm very proud of that missal.
If our listeners, you want to see this, you can see pictures of it, images of it at the at LTP's revisedromanmissal.org mm-hmm. website.
And also LTP.org. And we sent out sample pages in a Roman Missal catalog very recently, so parishes may have already received that.
The functionality, I mean, up until now, that's one other element of this missal mm-hmm. that we've not spent time talking about.
We've been
breaking open the text, which I think for most of our readers, mm-hmm. For most of our listeners, that's where they are. Probably few of our listeners actually have responsibility for navigating through the missal mm-hmm. itself, but mm-hmm. certainly any priests, any deacons, any presiders that are listening, that news, what you just shared, that would all make sense to them and give them a sense of, okay, how am I going to be, how easy or difficult will it be to use the mm-hmm. book itself mm-hmm. when it comes out?
Well, you know, we're also publishing a companion to the missal. One of the priests of our own archdiocese, Father Bob Tuzik, who works in ODW
right?
and
mm-hmm.
also for the Cardinal, he's written a book called Praying the Roman Missal, and its point is really to be a companion to the missal. So each chapter is on a part of the missal, and it follows in progression all of the various parts and explains how to use it, what the prayers are, breaks open the text. There's even chart comparisons between current sacramentary and what's coming. So that's going to be really, really helpful for parishes, especially liturgy committees, to really understand this new missal.
You made mention of the October 1st ship date. Mm-hmm. Something kind of connected to that initially, when that was first announced, that the missal will not be able to have it in our hands until October 1st. Mm-hmm. That was of great concern
mm-hmm.
because that's less than 2 months before
right.
before implementation.
Right, exactly.
And concern over that's hardly enough time for planners, for mm-hmm. liturgy committees, or even for presiders, for the priests,
mm-hmm.
to begin practicing themselves and planning around these new texts. That was great concern, and it was a concern I agreed with.
Right.
Thankfully, the USCCB pastorally recognized this as well, I think, because they posted on the website for the Committee on Divine Worship, they posted all of the texts from the new Roman Missal that will be needed for every Mass in Advent and Christmas.
Yes.
And so now you can go to their website and you can begin practicing and working and planning around these texts for every Mass into
Christmas.
Which will take us into 2012.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that gives an extra month and almost a month and a half of time
right.
to begin using or preparing for these texts. Like I said, I think that was very pastoral.
We're also doing two study editions, one on the Order of Mass and the other, which is called Essential Presidential Prayers, which basically it's a study edition on all of the main presider's prayers for every Sunday from the proper of time, which used to be called the proper of seasons. Right. So the collect, the prayer over the offerings, the prayer after communion. We've also had them pointed, Annabelle O'Shea in your
from
office,
our office
pointed them
for singing.
To correspond with the tones that are provided in the missal. So it will help presiders learn the chants, but also learn word emphasis, because the translation is very different. It may take some time to learn. So it's set up very much like workbook for lectors with the marginal notes and the commentary. So.
Excellent. When we come back from this break, we're going to shift gears just a little bit in terms of breaking open some rites here in Chicago. Next month, we have a very special celebration. We will be ordaining two new bishops for the Archdiocese as auxiliaries. And so we're going to spend some time today looking at that rite. So stay with us here on Focus on the Liturgy. We'll be right back after these messages.
Join Team Catholic Charities for the 2011 AIDS Run Walk in Grant Park on Saturday, October 1st as an active participant or sponsoring member. 100% of the funds raised by the team are returned to Catholic Charities HIV/AIDS case management programs, food pantry, and ministry in Cook and Lake Counties. For more information, please call the Catholic Charities Office of Volunteer Relations at 312-655-7322. Together, we can make a difference.
You're invited to join teens and young adults from throughout the Chicago area and the Midwest for a wonderful night of music, fun, and worship under the stars.
Come to World Youth Day Chicago Style, a gathering of young people that coincides with the concluding Mass at World Youth Day in Madrid, Spain.
The festivities begin Saturday evening, August the 20th, at the Our Lady Guadalupe Shrine in Des Plaines. Watch Pope Benedict celebrate Mass in Madrid and take part in our own worship services. There will be food and entertainment throughout the entire night.
Go to www.youthministry-chicago.org for details and to register. That's www.youthministry-chicago.org.
You can also get updates on Facebook at keyword World Youth Day Chicago.
Get some rest, and we'll see you August 20th for an all-nighter under the stars.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
Welcome back for the second half of Focus on the Liturgy here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. I'm Todd Williamson.
And I'm Danielle Knott.
In that first half, we're talking about some of the continuing elements of the English translation of the third edition of the Roman Missal, which again we will begin using November 26th and 27th of this year. But we're going to shift gears just a little bit to the second half of this show because Danielle, coming in August next month, a little over just two weeks, I believe, from today, in the Archdiocese of Chicago, we're going to have a very special liturgical celebration, one we haven't had since 2006, and that is the ordination of two new auxiliary bishops for the Archdiocese. As many of our listeners, whether they're part of the Archdiocese or of Chicago or of Joliet or of Rockford or of Gary or of Milwaukee, our neighboring dioceses, they would be aware that we, in the last year, lost two of our auxiliaries. Bishop Gustavo Garcia Sierra, an auxiliary here, was named Archbishop of San Antonio, and Bishop Thomas John Papraki was named Bishop of Springfield in Illinois. And so we've had these open vicariates, and Benedict, Pope Benedict the 16th, last month, named two new auxiliary bishops for Cardinal George. They are Father Alberto Rojas and Father Andrew Whippich, both priests of the Archdiocese of Chicago. And so we're very excited that that on August 10th, they will be ordained bishops for the church. And so it's been 6 years since we've had this celebration, and Danielle and I thought that spending some time doing with the rite of ordination what we've done with so many other of the rites and the texts of our liturgical life, spend some time just looking at that rite and breaking it open for the listeners. Anybody, I don't know that there are a great number of Catholics who can say they've been to the ordination of a bishop.
I actually haven't myself.
You mentioned that before the show, yeah.
I've been to the consecration or installation of an abbot.
Uh-huh. That's right, because you studied up at St. John's.
Mm-hmm, but never for a bishop.
Well, the ordination of a bishop is actually, I find it to be a very profound rite. It really is. It's you would appreciate this, Danielle. It is amazingly steeped, profoundly steeped in tradition. With elements of the rite itself that go back to the first years of the church, mm-hmm. in terms of liturgical gesture or in terms of particular elements of the rite. The texts themselves, I think, to look at the texts help give an understanding of what the church believes about this, mm-hmm. rite, mm-hmm. that whole principle that of lex orandi, lex credendi.
Mm-hmm. What the church prays is what the church believes.
So you look at the texts of our rites, you look at the texts of the liturgies, and they tell us, mm-hmm. what the church's faith is, what the faith is of Catholics.
Both the text of the rite itself and the lectionary readings.
Right, mm-hmm. right,
I'm
exactly.
I'm looking at the first reading right now, and it's Isaiah, and it's the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me.
Let's spend a little bit of time on these texts, mm-hmm. because the readings then for the rite of ordination on August 10th, they actually come from two different places.
Mm-hmm.
The second reading and the gospel come from the Mass of the day, because August 10th is the feast of St. Lawrence.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Lawrence martyred for the faith, burned alive.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The coming English translation of the third edition of the Roman,
uh-huh.
Missal,
uh-huh.
the opening collect for Lawrence,
uh-huh.
I just think is, it talks about I believe it's the love of God burning within us on the Feast of Lawrence,
mm-hmm,
huh?
Mm-hmm.
So we took those readings from the day, from the feast, and then the first reading we took from the order of, from the readings given for ordination.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at them, they are Isaiah, as you said, mm-hmm. the first reading, the Psalm. Is
Psalm 112, happy are those who fear the Lord, who greatly delight in God's commands.
The second reading
is from 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Consider this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully.
Now keep in mind what these readings are for.
Mm-hmm.
They're, you know, for the celebration of the ordination
of
these
bishops.
Mm-hmm. And then the gospel.
It's from John 12. Amen, amen, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains just a grain of wheat. But if it dies, it produces much fruit.
Now, you're making the connections around the. Though they're perfect readings,
yeah,
for the ordination
of
a bishop.
And, you know, I'm thinking of ontological change and this change in state of being and leaving the old life behind and new life and resurrection and all of these images in which they're assumed into through their ordination.
Yeah, yeah. That first reading from Isaiah, I just think is absolutely beautiful, particularly connected to,
mm-hmm.
to this liturgy.
This is one of my favorite readings.
As it is mine,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
really?
Yeah, oh my gosh, yeah. Yeah, read the whole thing. It's short and for the listeners.
The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring glad tidings to the lowly, to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives and release to the prisoners, to announce a year of favor from the Lord and a day of vindication by our God to comfort all who mourn, to place on those who mourn in Zion a diadem instead of ashes, to give them oil of gladness in place of mourning, a glorious mantle instead of a listless spirit.
There's the ministry of a bishop.
Exactly. And remember, this Old Testament reading is picked up in the Gospels when Jesus...
Luke, chapter 4.
Mm-hmm. And when he's speaking in the temple, this is the text that he uses.
Yeah, he goes, remember that great story? He goes into the synagogue of Nazareth. Mm-hmm. He asks the attendant for the scroll. Mm-hmm. He opens it up to this part of Isaiah, and he reads it. Mm-hmm. And then afterwards, after he reads that, the Gospel says he rolled it back up, he gave it to the attendant, and all eyes were upon him. Mm-hmm. And he said, today this prophecy is fulfilled. That's the bishop, the role of the bishop.
Exactly.
You know, that's the bishop. So
he's the shepherd of the diocese.
Now, before this break, for the listeners, keep that Isaiah reading in your mind, because when we look at the promises that a bishop makes in the rite of ordination, almost all of those elements that Isaiah talked about are picked up.
Remember, a lot of our prayer texts come from Scripture, so they're very evident in this ritual.
Yeah, they rely on one another.
Exactly.
We'll pick up there when we come back. Stay with us here on Focus on the Liturgy for more after these messages.
I'm Father Robert Barron. Our new Catholicism documentary series and study program can now be pre-ordered online. Go to CatholicismPreorder.com. Will you help me introduce this one-of-a-kind film series and catechetical program to your parish, school, and diocese? Journey around the world and deep into the faith in this 10-part, 10-hour epic adventure. Learn more at CatholicismPreorder.com.
Catholic Charities' Loving Outreach to Survivors of Suicide program has provided specialized counseling and support groups for adults in the Chicago area for many years. LOS recently initiated a support program for children and teens ages 3 to 18 and will be running a summer session. Any parents, teens, or children who have been affected by the death of a loved one to suicide are welcome. For more details about LOS and the summer program, call 312-655-7283.
Do you need to train leaders and educate your assembly about the new words we will soon hear and say at Mass? Mystical Body, Mystical Voice DVD and Formation Program is a proven resource that gives church professionals tools with which to teach about the liturgy and about the new words of the Revised Roman Missal. Not only will this program help ease the transition to using the new Mass texts, but it will open the eyes of your assembly to the riches of the liturgy. Advent 2011 is fast approaching. To prepare your parish and provide them with an opportunity for ongoing faith and liturgical formation, call Liturgy Training Publications at 800-933-1800 or visit ltp.org. That's 800-933-1800 or visit ltp.org.
Welcome back to Focus on the Liturgy here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. I'm Todd Williamson.
And I'm Danielle Knott.
We're talking about the upcoming ordination of two new bishops here in the Archdiocese of Chicago. And Danielle and I are just using the opportunity to break open the liturgical text and the scriptural texts that are part of the ordination of these bishops. It'll take place on August 10th, the Feast of St. Lawrence. And Danielle, just before that break, we looked at all of the readings, and in particular, the first reading that's going to be part of this liturgy from Isaiah, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to proclaim liberty to captives and to bring announce a year of favor. And just make comment about how connected that is to the text of the ordination rite. So we have the liturgy of the word. Uh-huh. After the liturgy of the word, even before the homily, so after the proclamation of the gospel, those who are elected as bishop are presented for consecration, for ordination. And so Father Jeremy Thomas here in the Archdiocese as chair of the Presbyteral Council. So in the name of all the priests of the Archdiocese, the presbyterate, in the name of the Catholic community, Father Jeremy will say to Cardinal George, we request that these two men, Father Alberto Rojas and Father Andrew Vipich, be ordained as bishops. Mm-hmm. So he makes the formal request. Mm-hmm. The cardinal then says, well, is there a mandate? Is there a mandate from the Pope for this? And Father Jeremy says, yes, there is. Monsignor Canary, the Vicar General of the Archdiocese, will then read Benedict's mandates, the two mandates, the two bulls that that proclaim Fathers Rojas and Whippich as bishops. Mm-hmm. And so the formal pontifical documents, they're read and then presented to the cardinal. And so the cardinal has it, it's official. This comes from the Holy Father. These two men are to be ordained bishops. And then there is, after that, the cardinal preaches the homily, and then there's the examination. Think about, and you've made comment about this before, in the ordination rites, all of them, for a deacon, for a priest, for a bishop, there are questions that the ordinands, they need to make promises. They need to answer these questions. Very similar to initiation rites.
Right, exactly. I'm struck by the title of this.
Yeah.
It's the promise of the elect. And as we've said numerous times on the show, a catechumen is called elect once they've gone through the rite of election.
Yep.
And so forth, because they have been elected or chosen
by God. They are chosen by God.
Elected for baptism. And likewise, the bishop elect has been chosen by God for this ordination. And in doing so, he makes these various promises. Now, as we were saying, how that reading from Hosea really summarizes or emphasizes the theological meaning or the role of the bishop, for example. And you're going to hear a lot of those themes evident in Isaiah in these promises. So I'll just go through.
Yeah,
and
these are the questions
then.
So the cardinal asks the bishops elect, are you resolved? Mm-hmm. And they have to answer, yes, I am in this office, I am being ordained to, I am resolved to. Mm-hmm. And then he asks them.
The ancient rule of the Holy Fathers ordains that a bishop elect is to be questioned in the presence of the people on his resolve to uphold the faith and to discharge his duty. And so, dear brother, do you resolve by the grace of the Holy Spirit to discharge until death the office entrusted to us by the apostles, which we are about to pass on to you by the laying on of our hands? And then the bishop-elect answers, I do, to each of the remaining
right.
questions. Do you resolve to preach the gospel of Christ with constancy and fidelity?
I just love that. There's the very first thing you as a bishop have to preach the gospel. That's,
and in the rite, the book of the Gospels has a very prominent appearance of late.
It's
on.
Literally over mm-hmm. their head. Mm-hmm. Thanks mm-hmm. for reminding me of that. during the prayer of consecration, during the ordination prayer mm-hmm. itself. The open book of the gospel is held over their heads, mm-hmm. just to emphasize that resolve that you just that we just heard you read.
Do you resolve to guard the deposit of faith entire and incorrupt, as handed down by the apostles and preserved in the church everywhere and at all times? Notice the emphasis on the apostles. This is the second time we've heard that already, and in apostolic succession
yep.
remains unbroken by church theology.
Yeah, and we don't have time to do it now, but that whole sense of the importance of the apostolic connection,
mm-hmm,
huh?
It's
who are the ones who are experts on Jesus Christ? You know, who are the ones, authority, who mm-hmm. are the authorities? Authority
mm-hmm.
as an expert,
mm-hmm.
right? Who's the authority on Christ? Who can tell you what it means to live like Christ? The ones who actually lived with him,
right?
The ones who actually spent 3 years with him, who heard his parables, who saw his miracles, you know, who were with him in the quiet moments away from the crowds. They're the experts. They're the authorities on this Christ and what it means to live a life like his.
Right.
And so that expertise is passed down. That's apostolic
mm-hmm.
succession.
Mm-hmm. Do you resolve to build up the body of Christ, his church, and to remain in the unity of that body together with the order of bishops under the authority of the successor of Saint Peter the Apostle? So not only apostolic succession here, but collegiality
yeah.
with the order of bishops.
Yeah, the body of
mm-hmm.
bishops, right?
Mm-hmm.
We talk about the body of Christ. We talk about the body mm-hmm. of, you know, in terms of orders
mm-hmm.
in the church.
And that phrase actually comes up in within the new translation of the Missal and the Eucharistic prayers. You're going to hear the order of bishops a lot through that. So the next question, do you resolve to render obedience faithfully to the successor of the blessed Apostle Peter?
So the fidelity to the Bishop of Rome, to the Pope?
Mm-hmm. Do you resolve to guide the holy people of God in the way of salvation as a devoted father and sustain them with the help of your fellow ministers, the priests and deacons?
As a devoted father, this is
there's
a tenderness,
of caring, and
yes.
Tenderness.
Oh my gosh!
Absolutely.
My gosh! Yeah, yeah.
Do you resolve, for the sake of the Lord's name, to be welcoming and merciful to the poor, to strangers, and to all who are in need?
Are you hearing Isaiah in this?
Absolutely.
that's the. You know what? When we come back from this break, let's pick up right back on that. I think that's a profound question that the bishop-elect has to be resolved to do.
Sure.
You know,
and
it's not all
has
about
the tenderness and the caring and all of those elements
exactly,
in here as well.
Exactly. We'll pick right back up on that. Stay with us here on Focus on the Liturgy. We're breaking open the rite of ordination of a bishop. We'll be back after these messages.
Who do you know in their 20s or 30s? Adult children, grandchildren, colleagues, neighbors, and friends.
The Archdiocese of Chicago is offering something just for them. It's called Theology on Tap.
We all know people who aren't as connected to the church as we wish they were. We also know young adults who are very connected, sharing gifts in many ways.
However connected they are, let's take it to the next level. Theology on Tap is a speaker and discussion series exclusively for people in their 20s and 30s, married and single.
It's an opportunity for them to meet good people their own age.
To deepen their faith and spirituality.
To make connections between faith and everyday life.
And explore the things that matter most.
It's a chance for all of us to share the Catholic faith with them, so they in turn can pass it to others.
We encourage you to personally invite young adults to Theology on Tap. It begins July 10th at locations throughout the Chicagoland area.
Details can be found at yamchicago.org.
That's yamchicago.org.
You're invited to watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Here's host Graziano Marcheschi.
During the next half hour, we'll take you to the dedication of the Healing Garden at Holy Family Parish in Chicago. We'll attend a Catholic Charities photo exhibit with a unique twist. And we'll celebrate the 25th anniversary of Filipino ministry in the Archdiocese of Chicago.
For several interesting stories about the Archdiocese, please watch The Church, the Cardinal, and You this weekend on cable television. Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Radio TV for the time and cable channel in your area. That's www.archchicago.org. The Church, the Cardinal, and You, compelling television about your archdiocese.
Welcome back to Focus on the Liturgy here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Danielle and I are actually, we're breaking open the texts and looking at the rite of ordination for August 10th here in the Archdiocese of Chicago. And Danielle, we were just looking at the presentation, and at this point in the rite, it's the examination of the elect, the presentation, as you say, of the elect, where those who are being ordained bishops are being asked to publicly state their resolve, and so the principal consecrator, the one who ordains these men, Cardinal George, asks, you know, gets testimony from them. And the last question that we ended that last session on, where the cardinal will ask them again.
Do you resolve, for the sake of the Lord's name, to be welcoming and merciful to the poor, to strangers, and to all who are in need? And this is, you know, reflective of Isaiah. We were talking on the break. This also reminds me of Matthew 25, of when I was hungry, you gave me food. When I was thirsty, you gave me a drink. When I was a stranger, you welcomed me. That's the ministry of the bishop.
Exactly. To be that devoted father to the people entrusted to his care. But also, not just anybody, you know, not, in a sense, not just those in the parishes, but everybody,
everyone.
The poor, the lost, right. Anybody who is in need,
exactly.
As that last question asked.
Which ties into the very next question of, do you resolve as a good shepherd to seek out the sheep who stray and gather them into the Lord's fold?
Think about it. Part of the ministry of the bishop isn't to the pews.
Mm-hmm.
those
who are lost and forsaken.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Those who are alienated, mm-hmm. those who are struggling, mm-hmm. those who are searching.
It's a profound
I wouldn't
image.
Want this responsibility.
No, I wouldn't either.
Look I think it's terribly moving.
And the last question, do you resolve to pray without ceasing to Almighty God for the holy people and to carry out the office of high priest without reproach?
Pray always and everywhere, mm-hmm. as Paul said. So that again, that comes at the very beginning of the rite of ordination, mm-hmm. within the mm-hmm. Mass. That's the job description of a bishop.
Right.
And ties into all those scriptures that we noted at the beginning of the segment.
The following those promises is my favorite part of the liturgy.
It's the How litany would I of know
saints.
That?
And you know, the parallel with baptism, with the litany of saints, that we are never liturgically we are never isolated with those just present, but we are surrounded by the hosts of angels and saints in heaven.
And we call upon them, mm-hmm. to be with us at this moment as these two men are ordained bishops.
So various saints, men and women, all holy men and women are invoked. But I do want to read the last part of the litany I was very struck by in connection with the reading from Isaiah and all of those promises. And the prayer that concludes the litany of saints, be merciful to us sinners, govern and protect your holy church, keep the Pope and all the ordained in faithful service to your church, bless this chosen man, bless and sanctify this chosen man, bless, sanctify, and consecrate this chosen man, bring all peoples together in peace and true harmony, comfort with your mercy the troubled and the afflicted, strengthen all of us and keep us in your holy service. I think that's beautiful.
That reflects the church,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Hierarchically ordered, yes.
Yes, and eschatologically, all those in heaven.
Gathered around the bishop at this, and in this case, Cardinal George, the church with all the angels and saints,
mm-hmm.
ordains these men,
mm-hmm.
As bishops.
Mm-hmm.
And as in other ordination rites, those who are being ordained during the litany lie prostrate,
mm-hmm.
face down.
Mm-hmm.
In humility,
mm-hmm.
in supplication,
mm-hmm.
in, oh my gosh, in awe,
mm-hmm.
of what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, the various parts that make up the ordination, again, ancient and I think profound. After the litany of saints, Cardinal George and two co-consecrators, so Cardinal George and two other bishops,
mm-hmm.
the rite calls for two co-consecrators. There has to be that witness,
mm-hmm.
that apostolic
mm-hmm.
succession.
Mm-hmm.
So in this case, the three lay hands on Fathers Rojas and Vipich. So that ancient, scriptural, pre-Christian gesture of laying on hands, huh?
Mm-hmm.
That's a key element in the ordination
mm-hmm.
rite.
Mm-hmm.
In a sense, it's at the heart of it in terms of
validity
the matter of the sacrament.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, the matter and form of the sacrament, the laying on of hands. And then afterwards, all bishops present lay hands on,
mm-hmm.
and there's that sharing of the spirit that we talked about. Then that follows the actual prayer of ordination itself, a very
mm-hmm.
beautiful prayer that asks God to send the Spirit to sanctify these men. Then their heads are anointed, and again, go back to Isaiah.
He has anointed me with oil,
yeah.
And it's they're anointed with chrism,
yep.
Which is what we are anointed with in confirmation
and in baptism.
And in baptism,
chrism is used to dedicate and consecrate a church and an altar,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it's literally poured on their heads.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you get these images of the prophets,
mm-hmm.
Being anointed.
And the sweet, fragrant oil.
Was it Jacob, mm-hmm. and it dripped
mm-hmm.
down his beard?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so this ancient ritual. Itself. So after the anointing, they are presented with the book of the Gospels,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
that was over their head during the prayer of consecration. So going back to that resolve.
Exactly. And then the ring and the mitre and the crozier.
all of those, looking at those symbols, those insignia, looking at the crozier particularly, and those questions of resolve.
The Good Shepherd.
The Shepherd.
Mm-hmm. It's the image
leading.
Of Jesus as a Good Shepherd,
yeah,
with the staff. It's
all
a pastoral
that.
Staff. Is actually the other translation of this used the term pastoral staff.
That's as opposed to crozier. Mm-hmm, that's mm-hmm. It's yes. It's not a weapon. Mm-hmm. It's a the pastoral staff. So they're presented with this, and finally, afterwards, they share the sign of peace, the kiss of peace, with all the bishops who have gathered, and they are now among the order of the episcopate. They are bishops of the church. So again, that's August 10th, celebrated here in the Archdiocese of Chicago. Fathers Alberto Rojas and Andrew Vipich will be ordained bishops, and we wanted to spend a little bit of time just looking at that right here in today's show. So thanks for listening. Again, we're here every fourth Wednesday of the month. Again, this is Todd Williamson.
And I'm Danielle Knott.
Stay tuned to Relevant Radio, 9:50 a.m. for more Catholic programming after this. Thanks for listening, and God bless.
George, thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio, 9:50 a.m. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day, and God bless you.